Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16, I want you to look at verse number 16. And if you'll stand with me real quickly, we'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read out loud and you can follow along silently. Again, Romans chapter 16, verse number 16, it says, "Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now, if you look back at me for just a moment, let me tell you the title of the sermon tonight. It's called Separation from False Doctrine. Separation from false doctrine. Let me pray, and then we'll learn something. Father, I ask that you would control what's said this evening. I ask that you'd control what's heard. Lord, this sermon, again, is quite simple. And I pray that we'll leave here tonight realizing the importance of staying away from false doctrine. There are a variety of ways, Lord, that we could be influenced by the wrong doctrines. Help us to be cautious, help us to be careful, and help us to be obedient to this thought of separating from false doctrine. Holy Spirit of God, control what's done, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'm going to read to you again Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. The Bible says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren," now notice, he's talking to the saved people, the brethren. He said, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine." Now, here it says, "Mark them," and I think he is about to tell us how to mark them. In other words, here's somebody that is, they're wrong doctrinally, and he's saying to the brethren, "You mark them," and then he goes on, he says, "contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now, that word avoid, what's it talking about? Avoid means separate from it. There are a lot of ways, reasons, and times to separate, but a predominant time of separation is over doctrine, the doctrine of the Bible. If you were listening there, let's see, in Romans chapter 16, let me see. I want to find something and read it to you again. Okay, in verse number 19, it says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." Now, here we see in verse 16 and 17, he says that you need, if there's doctrine out there that's wrong, you need to avoid that. That means you separate from it. Then when he got to verse number 19, still in reference to this wrong doctrine and the people that would spread wrong doctrine, he says, "I would rather you stay simple concerning that evil." What does that mean? You don't even need to know about it. In other words, I don't want you to know about all the wrong doctrine. I just want you to know what's right. And so he's saying, I want you to avoid it. That's separate from it. He said, I want you to remain simple toward it. What's it mean? Not even knowing about it. I love it. I love when someone in the church is simple about it. Let's say, and we don't have problems like this, but if somebody in the church were being nasty or bad, I just love it when people don't know about it. They're simple to it. And by the way, it really, you ought to want to stay simple in regard to evil. You don't need to know all the evil. And God is saying you avoid that wrong doctrine and the people that would spread the wrong doctrine. And you ought to even be simple about that. So you don't even know what's going on there. You're just going to do the right thing. Now, we should all separate from things that are false or things that are untrue. Boy, this is lesson number 17. We have learned that we're to separate, and for a variety of reasons. But the Bible warns us about many false things, many things that are untrue, many things that are false. And so if something is false, if something is untrue, if something is, and doctrine is contrary, then we ought to separate from it. Let me give you some verses, and I think some things that God would say, this is false, so don't get around it. This is false. Avoid it. This is false. Don't be associated with it. For instance, the Bible talks about a false witness. Exodus 20, verse 16, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And so God said, separate from that. Don't be around that. Then there are false reports. The Bible says in Exodus 23, verse number 1, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So there again, we're to separate. Why? We're to separate from a false witness. We're to separate from false report. Then there are what the Bible deems false matters. False matters. Exodus 23, verse number 7, it says, keep thee far from a false matter. Now, here it said, keep thee far from a false matter. What's it talking about? Put a whole lot of space of separation between you and false matters. But again, it's something that's false. We've seen a false witness, separate. We've seen false reports, separate. We see false matters. Keep thee far from that. Separate from it. Then there is a false way. A false way. Psalm 119, verse number 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I should separate from the false ways of life, the false ways of religion. Then the Bible talks about a false balance. Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And again, we're to separate from those things that are untrue. We're to separate from those things that are not pure. We're to separate from those things that are wrong. Now, when it talks about a false balance here, I want you to understand it. If you listen to the whole verse, it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. What that's talking about is, have you ever seen the scales of justice? It's a set of scales, and it's got an arm across the top, and then maybe some chains that come down, and there are maybe a bucket or a plate on which you put weights. And you put a weight, and it goes one way or another. They used to use those in all the marketplaces. What this is talking about, a false balance is an abomination, is talking about someone that was using a set of scales, but the weights that they were using were crooked. In other words, they had a weight that said 10 pounds on it, but it actually weighed 15 pounds, so they were lying about the weight. Now listen to the verse. It says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And God said, you ought to separate from false or bad business dealings. So we're to separate. Then the Bible talks about false lips. It says in Proverbs 17:4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. We ought to separate from those things that are false. We ought to stay far from them. We ought to avoid them. There are false gifts, according to the Bible. Proverbs 25, verse 14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. And so God is saying here, separate from that. There are false visions. According to Jeremiah 14:14, it says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. You know, it wasn't too long ago, and I can't remember his name. Tom might even be able to tell me the guy's name. There was a fellow that was on the internet and was advertising the second coming of Christ. I mean, he picked his time and day. Remember, Tom, you and I were kind of going back. You remember his name? It might have been camping. He had predicted that Jesus was coming back on a certain day at a certain time. That's a fault. He said he had a vision about it. He just had too many anchovies on his pizza one night, and he conjured up this vision. But the Bible talks about false visions. It says, neither spake unto them, they prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. So there are false visions. Well, what would God say? You need to separate from that. You separate from the false vision, and you separate from false gifts and false lips and false balance and a false way and false matters and false reports and false witnesses. There are false dreams. False dreams. I'm glad some of my dreams are false. I hate being chased by something and I can't run. Any of you ever find yourself in that situation? If I'm having a dream and something's chasing me and I can't figure out how to get my legs to work, it's always a bummer, especially if it's going to eat me. Jeremiah 23, verse 32 says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So God says there are false dreams. Remember, we want to separate from that which is false. There are false accusations from which we should separate. The Bible says in Luke 19:8, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I would restore it." We want to separate from false accusation. There are false prophets according to the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." There are false teachers, according to 2 Peter 2:1. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." So, in the Scripture, over and over and over again, God tells us about false things. And He tells us, "I want you to stay away from those false things. I want you to avoid those false things." Well, and that is, in essence, the teaching of separation. Now, that by way of introduction. Now, let me get real simple for a moment. I'm going to ask the question and answer it. What is doctrine? What is doctrine? Doctrine, very simply, it's the teaching of the Bible. And remember, the Bible's God's Word. There were men that were used to write down God's Word. But God's Word is perfect. God's Word's not flawed. God's Word doesn't have mistakes. So the Bible's Word of God. In John 1:1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now who's that speaking of? Jesus. When it talks about that the Word was with God, that's talking about Jesus Christ. Understand, Jesus was the walking Word of God. Earlier in our Sunday school teachers meeting, I made this statement. Do you know that everything that Jesus said was the Word of God? Everything He said was perfect. Everything He said, He was... You think you're right all the time, but He was. He was right all the time. When He woke up in the morning and said a word, it was right. No matter what the exchange, it was right. He was the Word of God. He was the Word of God, and we say, "come in the flesh." In other words, the Word of God was embodied in a human shell, but He was the Word of God. Let me read a couple verses to you. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth. You say the Bible's true. Well, Jesus is the truth. And the Bible is Jesus. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is truth. His word is true because He is true. Bible doctrines are the truths of God's word. And Jesus is the truth. Bible doctrines are what Jesus is. When we study Bible doctrine, you are studying Jesus. You say, you mean studying the doctrine of Jesus? All the doctrines are Jesus. He is the Word of God. And I know that may be a little hard to understand, but He is the Word of God, and the Word of God is what He is. When you study a Bible doctrine, you're studying Jesus. This book is what He is. To me, that's very exciting, which means this: a false doctrine is promoting or produces a false Jesus. He is the Word of God. And when someone is teaching contrary doctrine, they are marring Jesus. Now you would see why some preacher will throw a fit about doctrine that's not pure. The doctrines are His mind. The doctrines are His brain. The doctrines of the Bible are the person of Jesus Christ. You know, God says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You and I are to think His way. You say, "Well, how can I think His way?" Get into His book. Would you like to be able to read the mind of God? You say, "I'd like to be a mind reader." All you have to do is pick this up and read it. And you can read the mind of God. So, I ask myself this question, what is doctrine? Doctrine is what Jesus Christ is. And when right doctrine is being preached and promoted, then Jesus is being preached and promoted purely. When wrong doctrine is being preached and promoted, somebody is tainting the very Christ of the truth of the Word of God. That is very dangerous. Now, so I've explained what doctrine is. Number two, we're commanded to study doctrine. So we are to study it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Folks, you need to read your Bible and learn Bible doctrine. Now, I realize that sometimes reading and maybe reading in the Gospels where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are, you say, I like those stories. And they might be a little easier to understand than when you get into some of the more doctrinal parts of the Bible where the heavier teaching is, less illustrations, less color. But you need to understand the doctrines of the Bible. I love reading in the Psalms. Now, all the Bible is the Word of God, and it's all got a doctrinal sense to it, but there are some parts of the Bible that are teaching you very strong truths, and there are some that are teaching you maybe a little lighter concepts, if you will. I think it's good that you read the Psalms, but sometimes you just need to read the doctrines of the Bible. Why? Because we're commanded to. Jesus said, till I come, what's that mean? Till He comes back, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So you and I are to be learning doctrine. We're to read doctrine. You'll learn doctrine in Sunday school. That's why you need to be in Sunday school. You'll learn doctrine by being faithful to church. We have doctrine that's taught in our church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You'll learn doctrine. Let me tell you something. You are learning doctrine from the music you listen to. There is doctrine being taught in the music you listen to. You learn doctrine if you go to read good books. And I don't think the Bible is the only book that's ever been written. The Bible talks about other books, and there's nothing wrong with reading a book that's written by a godly, saved person. But if you're going to read a book by a so-called Christian, you need to read a book that's got right doctrine in it, the right doctrine. The thing of doctrine is important. Matter of fact, God said, you better avoid wrong doctrine. What is that? That's separation. So, we looked at what doctrine is. Now, we've presented the fact that we're commanded to study doctrine. Thirdly, as a preacher, I am to teach and I am to preach doctrine. And I'm to preach and teach pure doctrine. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Then he goes on to say, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But here the Bible is talking about the man of God preaching, and he says it is profitable to preach doctrine. It's a profitable thing. In other words, in Sunday school, I am to help us to learn doctrine. In the church services, I'm going to preach doctrine, and it's not as if we have to learn a particular doctrine every service, but the doctrines of God have got to be preached. They're supposed to be preached. You have to understand something. I am required as the under shepherd, if you will, of our church. I've got to make sure that what happens in our ministries, what's being taught, what's being preached in our ministries, is doctrinally correct. You take, for instance, our guys on our bus routes. They'll preach on our bus routes. But, fellas, you better make sure you stay doctrinally correct in what you preach. Or the pastor needs to come and say to you, if you get off base doctrinally, I will correct you. And it's not because I think I'm smart, because I don't think I'm smart. I just know God's smart. And He told me I'm to help us avoid wrong doctrines. We're to separate from wrong doctrines. Why? It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. And if you're teaching something that is contrary to what Jesus is, you're telling a lie on what Jesus is. And this church, it's about Jesus. You take, for instance, now there are a total of 6 men who will preach in our children's churches. Parents, just so you know, I pick men that will preach pure doctrine, right doctrine, true doctrine. You won't find some yahoo walking in off the street coming in here and saying, I'd like to preach, and me put some guy I don't even know up to preach. I don't even let half the guys I do know preach. Say, why? Doctrine. It's got to be kept pure. The people that run our ministries, our children's ministries, any ministry where there's the Bible is being taught, the Bible is being preached, you say, well, why do you let them preach? It's not because they're a good orator. It's because they follow the Bible. And they'll preach and teach right doctrine. And as a pastor, that's part of my job. Let me tell you this also. All the ministries, we want good, pure doctrine. Our Sunday school classes. So you all know, every Sunday school lesson for every teacher is given to them by me. We go over them with a fine-tooth comb to make sure it's good doctrine. And Sunday school teachers, I don't mind it. You supplement your lesson some, and you trace some things in the Bible and all. But I'll tell you something. You start going to the wacko television evangelist and picking up some crummy book down at the so-called Christian bookstore, you start cramming that garbage into a Sunday school lesson I gave you, and you start teaching wrong doctrine, I'll have to come see you on it. You say, well, who do you think you are? I think I'm a nobody that was told by a somebody I've got to keep the doctrine right in the church. We've got to keep separated from the wrong doctrine. See, you're to study doctrine. You say, why? So you're practicing right doctrine in your life. As a pastor, it's my job to make sure good doctrine is used here in the church. Brother Edwards, the choir directors, you say, that song is so cute. I'm glad the song's cute. You better make sure it's doctrinally pure. You know, we go through the words, and we make sure that the doctrine in the music is right. Did you know there are a couple of songs in our songbook that we don't sing the verses? You say, why? Not right doctrine. And I don't think the person that did it was a bad, wicked, vile, nasty person. And I hope you stay up all night and try to figure out which one it is. But you say, what's the big deal? Jesus. He is the Word of God. I'm stay separate from anybody that would taint Jesus. I guard our church ecclesiastically. You say, what is that? That word ecclesia means church-wise. We don't associate with any kind of a church. Why? We associate with churches that are right doctrinally. Why? It's all about Jesus. So, we discuss what doctrine is. You and I, as individual Christians, we're to learn doctrine, so we know to stay away from the wrong doctrine. As a preacher, I'm to teach and preach and guide our church so that we stay right doctrinally. Now, let me tell you number 4. Pure doctrine is described in some different ways in the Bible. Let me give you just real quickly a few of those ways. Pure doctrine, clean doctrine, it's called good doctrine. Proverbs 4:2 says, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So here God said, I'll give you good doctrine, don't forsake it. Don't leave it. And so you all know, if it was good when he wrote it, still good today. Those that want to tamper with the Bible, they think, hey, you can't improve on the old time religion. You just can't. So one of the ways God describes pure doctrine is he calls it good doctrine. Okay, that means if there is good doctrine, then there is an opposite, right? There's bad doctrine. I can't tell you how many people say, oh, no, as long as they're talking about Jesus, it's okay. No, not just anything is okay. If there is good doctrine, then there is bad doctrine. Okay, there's another way that God uses another word that God uses to describe appropriate doctrine, if you will. And it's the word sound, S-O-U-N-D. 1 Timothy 1:10 says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, and that's sodomy, defiling themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, men stealers, that's not somebody stealing your husband, it's kidnapping, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The word sound there, it's kind of a combination of the word correct and solid. It's correct and solid. So that means this, though. If there is a correct doctrine, then there is an incorrect doctrine. So if there is a good doctrine, there is a bad doctrine. If there is a correct doctrine, there is an incorrect doctrine. If there is a solid doctrine, there is a wishy-washy doctrine. But God describes the right kind of doctrine with the word good, the word sound, and then he uses the word pure. In Job 11:4 it says, "For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure." Now the word pure there, it is the word untainted. It is also the word complete. If something's pure, it's complete. The words of the Lord are pure words. Tried in a furnace 7 times, the Bible says. So, but listen, if he says there is a pure doctrine, then there is an impure doctrine. So if the word pure means complete, that means there is a complete doctrine. But wait a minute, then there's an incomplete doctrine. So God tells us, I describe this right doctrine in many different ways. Now, I want to go on. Number 5, we need to study good, pure, sound doctrine, but I don't think we're supposed to study false doctrines. I don't think it's a good idea to study false doctrines. The scripture, I don't know anywhere the Bible says go study the bad. I don't know anywhere where the Bible says go study the impure. You know what God said? Study the pure. Let me give you some words from the Bible. The Bible talks about diverse doctrines. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Now, here the Bible is talking about diverse and strange. We'll go to the word strange in a minute, but when it's talking about diverse, do you know that there are some churches, there are some preachers, there are some religions, they're ever changing what they believe. The Lord said, I'm the Lord, I change not. There are people and preachers and religions and churches, they are changing this very day to acclimate to today's society. They're just changing it up so they fit into this world. Folks, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. God does not change. So what they do, if they don't like it, they just change it. The Bible's supposed to change you. You're not supposed to change it. So God says, watch out for those diverse doctrines. And that word there is talking about a changing thing, a changing doctrine. And let me tell you something. When you start changing, it's very hard to stop changing. I want to stay true to the pure, good, wholesome, original doctrines. This whole lesson, you say, well, preacher, you mentioned that we're fundamental Baptists. What's that fundamental? We go back to the original doctrines. We don't want to tamper with any of them. We still believe the way God intended it originally. We don't think there's a transformation constantly taking place. God knew what he was writing when he wrote it, and he wrote it just fine. We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We just need to relive what's already written. And so now, the Bible also mentions strange doctrine. And remember, This point is, we need to study that good, that pure, that sound doctrine. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to go study the wrong. He said, study the right. He says in Hebrews 13:9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Then he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, he speaks of the doctrines of devils. You say, is that a doctrine about the devil? No. It's talking about people who are devilish, who have messed with pure doctrine, adjusted it for their own cause. It's not a doctrine about the devil being Beelzebub, or the devil being Lucifer, or the devil in Hades. It's not talking about Isaiah chapter 14 story of Lucifer falling from heaven as one of the archangels. It's just what it's talking about. It's talking about the doctrine of devils. It's talking about people that are devilish in the fact that they are tampering with pure doctrine. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I got called to preach when I was 16. I'm sure I could have taken my whole ministry a little more seriously than what I have, but I will tell you, I was pretty serious about it. And I didn't know anything about preaching. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about preaching. I just knew that God had called me to preach, and so I got this idea. I thought, I'm gonna go get everything I can and start studying, because someday I'm gonna be a preacher. So I went. We didn't have a Goodwill, and we didn't have a Salvation Army. I forget what it was. Maybe it's called the Armpit Store, but there was this nasty store, and they had all these books, and they had a little religious section. I went in there, and I started looking for anything that on the cover of the book said God or Jesus or church, and I got a Book of Mormon, and then I got the Doctrine of Covenants from the JWs, and the Pearl of Great Price. I got me some Catholic writings, and I was building me a library. I mean, I was going to build me a library, and I was going to study all this, and I put it all in my, I had a bookshelf at home, and my dad said, what are you doing with all that? I said, I'm going to study it all. He said, well, I'm going to give you 66 books, and you need to study those. I said, wow, I'm going to get a whole library. He said, there's 66 books in the Bible. He said, study those. Oh, I said, but I want to know about all that false stuff. He said, you study your Bible. I will promise you, if you study your Bible and study your Bible and study your Bible and study your Bible and study your Bible, you'll know what's false. Then he told me this story. He said, Fort Knox, of course, they store money and things, not as much now as what they used to, but he said, can I tell you how they go about figuring out what counterfeit money is? They'll take a man, they'll give him a pure, perfect $100 bill. And he'll sit and he'll stare at that $100 bill. He'll study it and study it and study it. He'll flip it over. He'll study that $100 bill and study it and study it and study it. He said, and that man becomes so familiar with a pure $100 bill that when any counterfeit comes across the way, he picks up on the counterfeit immediately. And my dad said, he said, you better become a professional at the one pure thing, and you'll be able to pick out all the other impurities by knowing what is pure quite well. You know what I did, Brother Dave? I took my whole library, except for that one compilation of 66 books, and I went out and I took it to the trash can. Now, you all, your trash can's plastic. When I was growing up, you didn't have plastic trash cans. You had a 50-gallon oil drum that you got from the factory, and they cranked the lid off of it, and that's where you put your trash. I took all those false doctrine books, every one of them. I took them out, with some of the music that I'd been listening to, because it had false doctrine in it too. And I got some gasoline, and this didn't work out real well for my eyebrows, but I put all those books and the, all the junk that I'd gathered, and I put some gas on it, and I put a torch to it. And you know what I started doing? Studying the 66 books. I'll be real honest. I've never read a book ever on false doctrine. But I do know what right doctrine is. You say, how'd you get it? I studied the pure one. I studied the pure one. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you ought to go know all the bad stuff. Matter of fact, it tells you to avoid, be simple to that which is evil. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if it's a wrong doctrine, avoid it. So, I'm not one that says you ought to go hear the other side. No, I want to stay with the right side. Okay, so, we started out, and I said, we're commanded... I explained what doctrine is. It is, in essence, it is Jesus Christ. It's got to be kept pure because He is the pure and holy one. I told you that we are commanded to study doctrine as individuals. As a pastor, I'm commanded to make sure my church stays doctrinally pure. Then, God describes good doctrine with three specific words, good doctrine, sound doctrine, pure doctrine. Then, He tells us, you ought to know the good, but you don't have to know the evil. If you know the good, you can avoid the evil, and the good will make you privy and strong about the evil because you understand it. So then, this is a little redundant, but I'm gonna say it. Number six, we'll best recognize false doctrine by studying and learning pure doctrine. Do you know that if you know true salvation, you're not going to be fooled by a false salvation? Right. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I tell you something? If anybody tries to convince you that salvation is anything other than a gift from God, they're wrong. All the so-called salvations out there, they're all wrong. There's one. There's one. And as long as you know that one, anything else is wrong. Be familiar with the right, and you will know the wrong. Now, where some of you are going to get misled is you're not familiar with the right. You don't know the right, so you get involved in the wrong. Hey, the best way to recognize weeds is to know which ones are the flowers. If you know the flowers, you're going to pick up on the weeds. Okay, now, you stay with me. I'm going to hurry. I only have 34 more points. This is going to be painless, and it's going to be quick. We are to separate from the false doctrines of the world. We're to separate from the devil's false doctrines, false religions, false churches. We're to separate from it. See, remember, false doctrine is anything that is contrary to the pure, the good, the sound doctrines of the Bible. Do you know that, now I'm going to give you a quick list. Be careful of some false doctrines. And remember, we're to separate from them. We're to avoid them. We're to stay simple to them. In other words, we're not supposed to know all about them. We're supposed to know all about the right stuff. If you'll know about hey, did you know when we get to heaven, God's not going to have a class on false doctrines? We don't need it. Did you know? Be careful. Keep yourself separated from the false doctrine about false doctrines. You say, what? Is that double talk? No. Some people think, well, whatever's taught's fine, as long as they're sincere. No, that's a false doctrine about false doctrine. So, well, they're sincere. Yeah, there are sincere preachers out there telling people you can work your way to heaven, and that is a damnable heresy, and that'll send people to hell, and being sincere does not make you right. You will sincerely burn in hell. So, what's the false doctrine about false doctrine? Secondly, there's false doctrine about God the Father. There's some people that think our God is uncaring and untouchable, and that's not true. He's our Abba Father. Separate from people that have false doctrine about God the Father. There's a false doctrine about God the Holy Spirit. Lots of false doctrine about the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, before you get saved, the one thing He wants is for you to get saved? And then He is sealed into you, into the day of redemption. And He doesn't teach you to speak in some gibberish language. There's false doctrines, and you should separate from the false doctrines about the Holy Spirit. There's false doctrines about God the Son. There are some that say that He is less than the Father, but the Bible makes it very clear. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are called the Trinity, and they are one. There are false doctrines about the Word of God. A lot of them out there. Well, whichever one is fine. I don't believe that. I think the Bible talks about purity. The Bible talks about inspired. The Bible talks about preserved. The Bible talks about holy. And so there are false doctrines about the Word of God. There are false doctrines about angels. Television tries very hard to pick up on angels all the time. But what the television says about angels is usually far from the truth about what angels are. There are false doctrines about the devil. You know, everybody says the devil made me do something. The devil doesn't make you do anything. The devil makes wrong available and you choose to do it. There are false doctrines about creation. In our public schools, to this very day, they're still teaching the theory of evolution. Well, they say, but we're just teaching the theory. Well, then why don't you teach the theory of creationism? But they don't. They teach evolution. And because it's the only thing taught, then what's the child supposed to think? They're not given an alternative. And that's just the way the devil does it. There's false doctrines about marriage. I don't care what they say. Marriage is still between a man and a woman. There are false doctrines about salvation. You get saved by grace. It is not by works in any way, shape, or form. There's false doctrines about heaven. There's some that say it's not a real place. It's imaginary. It's a state of, it's not a state of being. It's just a floaty mental thing. That's wrong. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, He would have told us. He went to prepare a place for us, and that where He is, there we will be also. It is a place. There's false doctrines about hell. They think hell's just a state of mind. That's not true. It's a literal place. There's fire there. There's false doctrines about the assurance of salvation. There are people that they teach that you can lose your salvation. You cannot. If you get saved, you're saved. The Free Will Baptists don't believe the security of the believer.
Right.
It's false. That's wrong. I separate from it. There's false doctrines about baptism. You know, there are people that teach if you'll get baptized, you go to heaven because you get baptized. That's not true. That's not true. There are people that believe baptism is by sprinkling. That's not what the Bible says. It's not sprinkling. He said, but the baby's too small to put under the water. Well, the baby, if he's not saved, is not supposed to get baptized anyway. So, well, where'd you learn that? Well, from the Bible. Where'd you learn what you learned? But that's false doctrine. There's false doctrine about church membership. You understand, the Bible teaches church membership. You get saved, you follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and then you can join the church. Any other way is false doctrine. There's false doctrine about what a church is. Not everything out there that says the word church on its sign is a church, not according to the Bible. There's false doctrine about the Lord's Supper. You know, there are people that actually drink wine when they take the Lord's Supper, but that is not the way the Bible teaches it. There's false doctrine about the Lord's Day. We know whether we want to believe it or not, there are people that say, well, the Lord's Day is no longer holy. That's been done away with. Fooey on that. The Lord's Day is holy. Matter of fact, they say, well, the Sabbath has been done away with. Every day is holy. All 365 days, and Sunday is a day that God set aside, and it's still a holy day. There's false doctrines about the fear of the Lord. There's false doctrines about humanism. Boy, is it everywhere today. God gave you a mind. Use it. Make your decisions based on your conscience. Well, our conscience can be seared, and our conscience can be wrong. You say, well, how do you make your decisions? According to the Word of God. There are false doctrines about the thing called predestination, meaning there's some that teach, there's some people that were destined to go to hell and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, Preacher Croom, we both know if that were true, we might as well cancel the soul winning program.
Right.
That's of the devil. There are false doctrines about missions. You know, some people think that you give a missionary money to go get people saved and then you don't have a personal responsibility to do it anymore. That's not true. You're personally a missionary to some degree, and you're to be telling others about Christ. There's false doctrines about the second coming of Christ. There's some people that teach it's coming after the tribulation period. It's not. It's coming before the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. There's false doctrines on love. There are people out there teaching you just love everything. Love everything. Love everything. Love the devil. No. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, these six things doth the Lord hate. There are some things that are to be hated. We're not to hate people, but we're to hate sin. There's false doctrines on prayer. People say, well, if you have faith, God will give you anything. God won't give you anything. You can pray for a fifth of Jack Daniels, but God's not going to give it to you. You say, well, I got it. Then the devil gave it to you, but God don't answer prayers like that. There's false doctrine about the union of all churches. All churches ought to get together. No, you're to stay separate from those things that are not pure, not sound, and that are incorrect doctrinally. There's false doctrine about temptation. Hey, you know, the devil's the one that tempts us. There's false doctrine about man's wisdom. There's false doctrine about separation where they say it's legalism. There's false doctrine about sanctification. There are some people say, well, you can get to the point where you don't sin anymore. The Bible says if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar. You're a liar. There's false doctrine, the false doctrine of tongues. Hey, I believe in the Bible that they had the gift of tongues. But it was speaking in a known language so the gospel could be given. It was not, again, a heavenly gibberish that made no sense. You say, well, preacher, nobody ever talks about that anymore. It's still a false doctrine. Everybody's afraid to say something about it, but I'm commanded to talk about false doctrine. There's false doctrine in music. Some of you need to be very, very careful. There's music that you listen to and the groups that you listen to, they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe in the security of the believer. They don't believe in separation, I'll guarantee it. Yeah, I'm talking about Christian music that you listen to, or so-called Christian music. So, we, as Christians, are to separate from wrong doctrines. And one of the ultimate reasons, wrong doctrine taints Jesus. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know. We have to stay separate if we really love Jesus. And there are some that say, well, for the cause of Christ, I'll get associated with that sort of stuff. I'm sorry, that is totally backwards to what God teaches. I actually believe there is false doctrine about false doctrine. Let anything go as long as it says Jesus or church or God. Your average Christian bookstore is full of trash. False doctrine.